Welcome to Retirement Reimagined, a series of conversations exploring the latest FNB retirement survey and what it reveals about the average South African's preparedness and attitude towards retirement. In each episode, we delve into the survey findings and examine interesting themes. I'm personal finance journalist Maya Fisher-French, and as this is Will's Month, we're discussing estate planning as part of your retirement plan with Karen Mayer, product head of Wills. So Karen, in the survey, and this didn't surprise me because we see these figures all the time, but your survey really confirmed it. Only 4 out of 10 people had a will. Why do you think so few people in South Africa have written up wills?
I think there's a variety of reasons, but the common themes, there's a couple of common themes. I think one of those is people believe that you have to be wealthy. It's only wealthy people who need a will. And we see that in the survey. On the entry level, on the one side of the spectrum, only 8% had confirmed that they had a will. If you move through the income brackets all the way to wealth, 82% confirmed that they have a will. So people really do believe that the value of your assets is important. Mm. But we know the fact that you've got stuff means that you need a will. You know, your family, they need to know what to do with those assets when you pass on. And it's not the value that makes the difference.
But many of those people probably have a home.
Absolutely.
And what happens to that house? And you know, I suppose for me, too, the two big assets people usually have is a home. And if they're employed, they have a retirement fund. And we can talk a little bit about how a retirement fund is dealt with differently. But exactly that, you know, if you've got a property and you think, oh, it's my family's home or I'll leave it to my children. If you haven't specified that, it's going to be complicated.
It is. So, I mean, and then interstate succession kicks in, and that's not necessarily what your wishes would be. You know, that also doesn't make provision for people that are dependent on you today necessarily. So it really is important. And to say that my family knows what to do, oh, that's where family feuds start, when everybody thinks they know what the deceased
wanted. Actually, mom told me that I'm going to live in this house, and then the war breaks out, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that brings the whole process to a halt.
Exactly.
Which is such a difficult time to be in.
Yeah. And one of the, I'm just telling you, Karen, when I speak to people, one of the feedback they give, and I'm not kidding you, is I've had a few men say this to me. I don't know if it's a gender bias, but they've said, I don't want to have to make the decision. It's too upsetting for me to like have to think about who to leave my assets to. So I'll let somebody worry about it once I've left this planet, you know, that sort of thing. So maybe there is this fear of confronting your death and having to make these kinds of decisions.
Absolutely. And again, looking at the stats in the survey, of those who don't have a will, 17% said that I don't know how to split my assets. Mm. Another 27% said that I need to speak to my family first. And it sort of speaks to, I can't make up my mind. Mm. I just don't know what to do. And it leaves your family in such a difficult position if you haven't made your wishes clear. So, yeah, it's difficult and we have to face our mortality. But I think, you know, it's the biggest gift you can leave your family is to have your affairs sorted out. Like that's the legacy you want to leave them.
That's the legacy, is the gift of it. And I also get into these huge debates about whether to tell your family what's in the will. So I've told my children, they all know exactly what's in the will because we want everyone to know that things have been taken care of, that there's, you know, there is a will. But for other people, it's like, they'll kill me if they know they're in the will. So it can get a little bit of a... So you don't necessarily have to have the conversation with the family, but at least have it with someone and that there is someone who knows what to do with those assets and where your will is. And that was also some of the feedback that I get is that people don't always know who to choose as an executor. And those figures also came out a little bit for you in that survey.
Yeah, so through the survey, we see that around 30% of people believe that they want to nominate a family member or a friend. And I think it speaks to trust. They want someone who knew them, who knows their family dynamics. They want to trust that person. But that isn't necessarily the best option to go for.
So part of the other feedback that I get is people saying, yes, but, you know, I don't necessarily trust the financial institution either. So there's a very low trust level. So how do you at FNB, you know, I know for some people, the thought of winding up an estate and spending 4% of their assets, and that's the cost of winding up an estate, but you've got some sort of fast-tracked, easier, less expensive, more cost-effective is probably the right word, way of winding up estates, especially for people with smaller assets, less assets.
Absolutely. So in our entry-level estates, so those valued at less than 250,000, there are different options. where the family can come to us and we can, you know, either we help them, we do the whole estate, or we get them pointed, we give them some guidance. So there are options. You don't have to spend the 4%. But when you spend the 4% with someone who knows what they're doing, it's money well spent. It is an interesting space when it comes to estate administration. I mean, there's a whole act dedicated to the administration of estates. Mm. So you want someone who actually knows what they're doing.
You do, because it can get very, very complicated and it can hold things up. And especially if somebody wants to go and contest it. And of course, that was the other thing is, somebody said to me, because I get lots of questions on social media, they said, but if I have a write a will, then there's this 4% executive fee. If I don't write a will, I don't have that fee. And that's completely incorrect.
That is completely incorrect. So whether you have a will or not, there's going to be an executor appointed that needs to wrap up your estate. So through your will, you can at least decide who that executor is. But there's going to be an executor that has to go through the process. So you can't skip the cost.
You can't skip the cost, but at least you can control the cost if you have a will and you can maybe negotiate it or have an arrangement or whatever. But if you're just leaving it, then you have no idea what that outcome's
Absolutely.
Going to be. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to also just talk about, and I said up front that for many people, their two biggest assets are their property and then their retirement fund. And I think it's important that we understand what goes into a will and what doesn't go into a will.
Yeah, we often get that question. You know, what's going to happen to the pension fund? What must I do there? So I think it's important to understand that pension funds, retirement funds, that falls outside the estate. It doesn't go into the estate. It only goes into the estate if you didn't nominate someone, if you don't have any dependents and there's nowhere else to put the money, it'll go into the estate. But that's really the case. Mm. So pension fund or retirement fund assets, so interesting there. So remember, when it comes to your will, we've got freedom of testation. So we can leave our stuff to whoever we please. But when it comes to your retirement assets, you nominate who you want the beneficiaries to be. But when you pass on, then those trustees will still sit and have a look and see, were there other people who were dependent on you? And they will balance that out with who you've nominated versus people who are dependent on you. Mm-hmm. So that's also an important thing to make sure it's in place.
Because I've seen wills where people have said, I've left my retirement funds to X, but you can't do that.
You can't.
The retirement fund benefits are determined by the trustees based on things like financial dependence, legal dependence. They look at children from a previous marriage. They will look at a whole lot of things. Your will is the only place, and maybe this is again why one should have a will. The will is the only place where you can really specify who you want your assets to go to. So if you have a real desire to leave a certain person funds, it's not necessarily going to be a retirement fund. It will be the assets outside of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the will is the only opportunity you have to make specific provision for people. Mm. So, you know, if you die interstate, it's going to go to the spouse and to the kids. And for many people, that's okay. But if there are, you know, your mother, your father, or there's a sibling that's reliant on you for financial assistance, that's not going to fit into interstate succession. Mm. So that's your opportunity to make provision for those dependents.
So now all people listening are saying, right, I want to go and do a will. What makes a will valid?
So in terms of South African law, we still need a hard copy will. So, I mean, there's lots of digital processes that's beautiful to follow, but in the end, you still have to print and sign.
You still have to print it out, take a your pen and sign. That has to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's that. It's you signing it. It's your two witnesses, making sure that you are of sane mind and that you're not under any duress when you sign it. And it must be dated. Very important that it's dated. Mm. And that's the will that's going to be the last dated one legally signed is your legal will.
And your witnesses cannot be in the will.
They can't. And they can't benefit. So even if, you know, the beneficiary, you are nominating your son, but now your daughter-in-law, she can't be signing it either because she's also going to benefit from that.
Okay, that's very important. So if your witness can't be married to somebody in the will either. Okay.
Nobody who benefits from that will can sign it.
Okay, that's an important one to remember. This is about retirement. This is about the retirement survey. So what are some of the important considerations to have when you come to retirement? And maybe, of course, you should always be reviewing your will with any life changes, but especially at retirement, what do you need to be considering?
I think what we see is more people retire and they still have debt. So that's an important thing. So when you look at your estate, you've got to consider what's the impact of that on your estate. So making sure that you've got sufficient cash to cover these debts and these costs. So that's very important point. Then I think, and you did say that you need to review it, and it's not because your own circumstances change. That I think in retirement that kind of stays, you know, static for a long time. But your children, your grandchildren, their circumstances change, and maybe that's got an impact on the way you want to leave your assets.
And what about aging? So, you know, you're in retirement and maybe your partner, you're worried that you pass away before your partner, and you may be the one who does all the admin, who does all the organizing, or, and I'm seeing this, I must tell you, with many of my friends' parents, dementia has started setting in for one of the parents. How can you manage that in the will?
Yeah, that's such a valid point. I think we are all growing older, we live longer, and we can see the instances of dementia. I mean, that's just increasing. Mm. So one way of handling that is to, if it's you and your spouse, make sure that when in that will, that the assets go into a testamentary trust. I think that's probably the easiest way.
So if you're the spouse of sound mind, but your partner has started with dementia or cognitive issues, you can create a testamentary trust within your will so that your assets are protected.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. I think that's the best way, because I think in today's environment and with power of attorney in South Africa, the way that it's structured, it falls away when you are no longer of sound mind. So we don't have many options available to us, but having your assets go into that testamentary trust really does answer a very real issue at the moment.
I think it's such an important one, because we talk a lot about testamentary trusts when it comes to minor children, but we very seldom discuss it with aging parents. So I think that's a very good one to end on, Karen. And thank you very much for those insights. And thank you to our listeners. And if you would like to know more about the FNB Retirement Survey, you can go onto the FNB website. There is also a link here. But I hope you really enjoyed the series. And also, please go make sure that you have that will and go get some good advice and make sure that the people you want to receive your assets actually do receive it.